Sorry, Jonathan. Mr. Paris will present updates on two sets of priorities, our 2022 work priorities and 2023-2024 scallop RSA. At the end of those presentations, there are two motions, one to finalize the RSA priorities and the other to initiate our next specs package. So with that, over to Mr. Paris.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Madam Chair. So presentation in two parts. I first want to talk about progress we've made towards the 2022 work priorities and then transition over to the 2023-2024 SCALP RSA program. Two actions for you today, two motions that the SCALP Chair will be bringing. We're hoping to approve the SCALP RSA priorities for the next 2 years and to initiate Framework 35. So the Council is scoping for leasing and the limited access component of the fishery as a 2022 work priority. The Council agreed to work on scoping in a two-step process, focusing first on gathering public input and then deciding at your September meeting on whether or not to pursue an action to develop a leasing program. The Council has hosted 9 scoping meetings on this topic. Sam and Melanie conducted 7 in-person meetings from North Carolina to the North Shore of Massachusetts over the past 2 months. We also hosted 2 webinars recently for the completion of those in-person meetings. We are 5 days away from the conclusion of the open public comment period. There's still time for folks to weigh in. Information on how you can do that is provided on the slide as written comments. Going forward, staff will be working on a scoping summary report over the summer. And this document, along with the complete set of public comments, the Council will be able to get a sense of the input that was provided throughout the scoping process for your decision in September. So I want to start with the third bullet on this slide. It was PDT tasking from the committee that came back in January. We've addressed this tasking regarding the utility of the Nantucket Lightship Triangle as a rotational area. The short version there is that we expect to evaluate that once we see the results of the 2022 field season. With regard to enhancement, the PDT has reported back to the committee and made recommendations about that as a possible application for the fishery along with scallop transplanting. And the PDT also provided feedback to Kunimesset Farm Foundation, which had industry funding to work on a transplanting project within the Lightship Triangle. A memo was provided to the committee on this work. Now, your monkfish discussion was yesterday, but at the April Council meeting, we had indicated that it engaged with the scallop advisory panel to try to understand why scallop fishermen may not be landing monkfish on directed scallop trips. We had that discussion on May 14th. The AP reported that economic incentives to land monkfish have changed over time in the fishery. The number of days at sea, scallop days at sea, coupled with high scallop prices and low monkfish prices factor into these decisions. The focus really on the directed scallop trips is on prosecuting that fishery given some of these differences in ex-vessel price. One of the changes that was made through Amendment 21 was an increase to the general category IFQ trip limit. I'm in the top bullet now. That increased from 600 pounds to 800 pounds in access areas. We were able to gather a little bit of preliminary data. I have some information on the screen. We've taken that a step further to say, and I can say that most of the trips that we see in the data right now, preliminary information, are that these vessels are landing close to 800 pounds. That trip length is about 1 day. There's probably some longer trips and some lower landings that may be impacting the averages, but the mode is much closer to 800 in 24 hours. So sticking with updates from Amendment 21, you know, that action modified management of the directed scallop fishery within the Northern Gulf of Maine. We have a new sharing arrangement in place that was created. It's a Northern Gulf of Maine set-aside that's available for general category vessels at 200 pounds a day on a first-come, first-served basis. So that was in effect. The set-aside was 621,000 pounds. Another fairly substantial change to that fishery this year was the reopening of Stowagon Bank and access to what was a fairly strong year class. within the management unit. The area was open for 56 days. This continues to be what we call a derby-style fishery. We saw an uptick in the number of vessels participating in the Northern Gulf of Maine, which was expected in the council's rationale for the preferred alternative in Amendment 21. So we think of roughly 108 vessels. Average number of trips this year was about 30. One thing that the committee did discuss towards the end of its meeting was concerns about high grading within the management unit, not just in the Northern Gulf of Maine, but in other parts of the fishery. I'd be happy to take any questions on that later on. So there's some good news to report today with regard to the 2022 field season. Survey partners are reporting that they're encountering pre-recruits and recruits on George's Bank, so in the Great South Channel, along the northern flank of George's Bank. We think these are mostly two-year-old scallops. They've been detected really from the HAPC area, along that northern flank into the channel. The images on the screen are from the research vessel Sharp, so that conducted a dredge and HABCAM survey. So the image on the right-hand side is showing you the size of the scallops from a large toe and closed area one sliver, and then an image of some of the smaller scallops that they detected. This kind of new recruitment is, and the news of new recruitment is always welcome, but I need to say and emphasize that the outlook for the 2023 fishing year remains unchanged. The larger scallops that are going to be available to the directed fishery for the coming year are from years of low or average recruitment. So the fruits of this recruitment event won't come online for a couple more years. We still need to understand the magnitude and the scale of what this looks like, but it was encouraging news. But it doesn't change the short-term outlook for the directed scallop fishery. So to quickly cover where we're at in terms of the 2022 work priorities, Dr. O'Keefe talked about the timeline for the survey working group. That feeds into the work that we'll do today for the scallop RSA, setting recommendations. This will pretty much wrap up your work on scallop RSA. Staff will be involved in project review and towards the end of the calendar year. The evaluation of rotational management is now complete, but we're doing our best to follow-ups and to address recommendations from that report. That's feeding into the 2023-2024 specifications. And I addressed scoping for limited access leasing in the first two slides. We're expecting a decision at your meeting in September. So very briefly here on the evaluation of rotational management, just to say that there's several ways that we expect to address the recommendations in this report. Today I'll talk about the annual specifications and the scallop RSA. What we'll be focusing on within the 2023 specs are the performance of Closed Area 2 and the Nantucket Lightship South. So that data is on the next handful of slides. There are other issues that we plan to address that were recommendations from the evaluation of rotational management. I'm not going to cover them all in detail here today. I did want to touch on the Lightship South as a follow-up from your April meeting. So there were billions of scallops that settled in the Nantucket Lightship region as part of the 2012 year class. The scallops that are still there have not grown normally. They've exhibited slow growth. They have thin shells. Surveys have suggested for several years that there's been elevated levels of natural mortality. This is an area where projections have been overly optimistic. Certainly where we thought the biomass would be in 2021 wasn't what the surveys had revealed, so there was a mismatch there in our forecasting. In terms of the fishery, we've had trips allocated to this area for the last 3 years. In the current fishing year, it's one trip, 15,000 pound trip limit, which amounts to about 5 million pounds of harvest. The remaining scallops in this area after a couple years of fishing, they're generally smaller, probably not being caught by the, by the 4-inch ring, certainly below the L50 of that gear, and are animals that are in deep water and have thin shells. So they are distinct and different from animals you'd usually think the fishery would be focusing on. So we just discussed the current conditions of the Lightship South with the AP a little earlier this month. This story continues to be the same as it was in April. Harvesters are reporting low catch rates, poor meat quality. The past couple of months have brought higher fuel prices. And really the report was that for most vessels and most businesses at this point, they don't plan to take that trip or try to pursue it, at least in the short term, unless something changes. I note that the council received correspondence about industry meetings that were hosted by the Fisheries Survival Fund addressing fishing practices in high-density areas. So this is a classic case of that, along with the Nantucket Lightship West and even the Mid-Atlantic Access Area. I think that's a signal that industry is looking to try to address some of the issues that have unfolded within the Lightship region over the past couple years. There was talk about different fishing behavior and different ways that you might be able to harvest within high-density areas. At this point in time, the plan development team is not recommending any management changes for the council with regard to this area. We understand that the area may not be fully utilized with respect to where we thought it would be, but given the status of the area, we're not recommending any changes. So moving further east to closed area two, The evaluation of rotational management touched on different ways that you might be able to reduce fishing mortality by harvesting scallops when the meat yields are largest. There is a fairly long-term data set, a relatively long-term data set that comes from the Kennebunkport Farm Foundation seasonal bycatch survey of this area. Now, the crux of this issue is that there's potential to reduce fishing mortality by harvesting fewer scallops to achieve the same weight. This can happen in closed area two. It could happen in the northern Gulf of Maine on an IFQ trip to an access area. But there's certainly been conversation at the PDT, at the AP, and from this report that this might be something to pursue. We did have a motion from the committee at the last meeting to asking the PDT to evaluate this further. And it's something that we plan to look into over the summer. So in terms of Framework 35, we expect it will include specifications for the coming fishing year and default measures for 2024, and the committee tasking that I just spoke to, looking at the feasibility of seasonal closures to reduce F and improve yield per recruit. So that concludes the slides I have on the first half of the presentation. I'd be happy to pause and take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Peros. Any questions for Jonathan from the council? Seeing none, Mr. Peros.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the order today is for the council to recommend RSA priorities. This is a little history of the RSA program that we cover at most meetings. The one thing I would note is for the coming year, since the implementation of Amendment 21, the overall pool of the set aside has increased to 1.275 million pounds. So as part of the RSA cycle, the plan development team hosted two research share days this year. These were half-day webinars. The first of the two share days focused on enhancement. The reason for having a little more focus was in part to address the Lightship Triangle tasking. I thought it was a good day. It was the first time where we had invited recently funded RSA projects to come and talk about what they're going to be doing. We had folks back to talk about work they had already done and wanted to recognize Mark Dixon from the Center's Milford Lab, who came and talked about some of the success that hatcheries here in Maine have had with rearing seed from spat. So I thought overall was a very informative day. The following day, we heard back from recently funded RSA PIs. So we heard about research on sea turtles, modeling impacts of offshore wind, ocean acidification, and climate change, and invited to talk from Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary on Sandlands. Overall, these meetings, I think, have been a pretty good springboard for our conversation on updating the overall RSA priorities. One request that we had from the committee this year was to go back and look at how the RSA projects are being used to inform the annual work priorities of the council. So not are they meeting just the goals of prior RSA priority setting, but are they really being used in management? On evaluation of this, I think what became very clear is that work on surveys, work on bycatch, some of the seasonal bycatch work I already talked about, does make its way into the process. The group talked about the information gathered through research focused on loggerhead sea turtles, both gear and monitoring, that is to address some of the ESA issues that have come before this council and are addressed in the plan. Projects will feed into the stock assessment. So there were several projects that were looked at as part of SARC 65 back in 2018. I think several will be used to support the upcoming research track in 2024. You know, one of the things that was very clear about and through this cursory evaluation was that you end up with a fairly long time lag between when you set a priority, when the research gets funded, when it gets peer reviewed, and if it makes it back into management. And so I think that's always a challenge for the groups that come that think about these priorities and how they might be able to influence management. So a couple things on the program as a whole. It continues to be successful in funding research projects. So a total of 180 over the last 13 years. We would expect that this would generate roughly $163 million when you multiply what we said is the common price times the pounds that are available. So a fairly healthy program that's focused mostly on surveys in the recent times. Looking back to the 2022-2023 cycle, just to recap where we were last year before we talk about some of the changes that have been proposed for the next round of priorities, there were six last year. Surveys were the highest. Biology and turtles were set as the secondary tier as high, and then some general research priorities. This table gives you a sense of how many projects were funded for each category and what that priority rank was. So a total of 15 projects were funded last year. No projects were funded in the area of commercial dredge research. So I'm just taking the six priorities that were adopted last year by the council and comparing them to the priorities I'll speak to in just a few minutes for the 2023-2024 cycle. Where the committee has recommended expanding the list to 9 and adding 3 medium priorities that I'll go into in detail in just a few minutes. Both medium and general priorities are of equal importance. They're not presented in rank order in this table. So committee input on the RSA. We do have a committee motion. It generally reflects the recommendations of both the plan development team and the advisory panel with a few minor adjustments. The committee discussed the value of research that supports scallops, but also other issues that impact the FMP. Like sea turtles, like bycatch of other fisheries. Monkfish is an example. We talked a little bit about the committee's tasking in April for asking the PDT to report back on potential avenue and focus of an MSC for the fishery. And we heard a few comments, programmatic comments from committee members about better defining the role of RSA, topics that were covered in the 2019 program review. So now on to the priorities that were recommended by the committee. I think Dr. O'Keefe already covered the reasons for suggesting the change for the surveys, the highest priority, so moving away from area-specific recommendations to something more general. What we found over the years is that we don't do a great job of predicting exactly where scallop settlement will happen in the future. And so we're trying to do this in the absence of making predictions and recommendations in the absence of incoming data from the ongoing field season in that year. And so we think this modification will help improve this process and help researchers better focus on the areas that need survey coverage at different sampling intensities. So for the medium and general priorities, I just want to step through what was recommended by the committee. All six priorities that were recommended last year have stayed on the list for the committee's recommendations this year. Scope biology was expanded to spell out some different areas of interest. There was a little bit of language added to the turtle priority to link back to data collection and how it might be incorporated in scallop management. Scallop resource enhancement now has a focus on both transplanting and seeding and hatchery work. Back from 2016 is the habitat characterization research. We noted the recent interest in Bakke studies, particularly out on the northern edge. Research on the impacts of fishing in high-density areas is a new recommendation this year. This is also part of your five-year research recommendations for scallops. It comes from the evaluation of rotational management. It includes looking at impacts of sediment disruption, impact of high volumes of scallop viscera, the soft tissue that gets shucked in the processing of the animals, scallop shell damage, repeated harvest damage of the scallops, and looking back at non-harvest mortality. One of the things that the committee thought would be useful focus of this was also an education element to help harvesters potentially understand the impacts of different fishing practices. Wind has been on the priority list in the past, but it has a new focus in this round. There was a discussion that the areas where wind arrays are likely to be constructed are better known than they have been in previous cycles. So the focus here is on studies to assess the socioeconomic impacts on the scallop fishery from offshore wind energy development across multiple lease areas. Dr. O'Keefe also mentioned the survey working group's focus on simulation modeling and trying to understand the impact of the construction of a turbine array on the ability to survey within that area. And this priority also includes research that assesses the utility and feasibility of alternative sampling tools. So we recognize that a dredge or hab cam or drop cam might not be the only ways that you could conduct a survey in the future. The bycatch priority remains largely the same, as does the research on commercial dredge gear. And with that, I would be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perros. Any questions for Jonathan from the council? Seeing none, anyone in the audience? Seeing none. Chair Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have a motion to offer. I'll wait for it to go on the screen. All right, on behalf of the committee, I move that the council approve the scallop research set aside priorities for 2023-2024 as recommended by the scallop committee on pages 1 and 2 of document number 3, tab 4. The priority list is summarized in the table below. Medium and general research priorities are not listed in priority order. I think we're missing the table. This was a committee motion that passed 11-0-0.
Okay, thank you. It's a committee motion. It does not need a second. We don't have a table on the motion, but is there any discussion of this motion from the council absent the table? We'll be sure to include. We need to include that in the final look at it. Any discussion from the council? Anyone from the public? Back to the council. Is there any objection? Go ahead. Drew, you want to talk or not?
Just quickly, Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund, support this motion. And just want to talk about that the industry is really looking towards enhancement moving forward. And we're even starting some pilot projects. I won't get into it. It's late. But there's a real movement towards looking and changing the way we manage this fishery and making it more even and not just relying on natural recruitment that within the cycles we're going through for now. So this motion is an important step towards that. So we support it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. Any other comments from the council? Is there any opposition to this motion? Any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by unanimous consent. Chair Griffin.
I do have another final motion. I move that the council initiate framework adjustment 35, an action that will set fishery specifications for fishing year 2023 and default measures for 2024.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. It's committee motion, does not need a second. Any discussion on the motion from the council? From the public? Go ahead, Ms. Griffin.
I want to double check that that is a committee motion.
It will need a second. It did not come from the committee.
Okay, very good. So, motion by Ms. Griffin. Is there a second to this motion? Mr. Alexander, are you seconding the motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now it is a motion. Any discussion on the motion on the board? Anyone from the public? Seeing none, is there any opposition to this motion? Seeing none, any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by unanimous consent. Ms. Griffin.
That's all I have on the agenda, as long as Jonathan doesn't have any other updates.
Mr. Peros?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that brings us to the end of our agenda. We're going to move on to other business. Does anybody have any other business besides the Hudson Canyon?